So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Today we come to that section in John's Gospel where Jesus rides into Jerusalem. This is John's account of Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. It is a much shorter account of Palm Sunday than the synoptic writers, but is very, very significant because it focuses on Jesus the King and his kingdom. Kingdom. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of God's grace. Those who were born again. So the main point of John's Gospel here about Jesus is that Jesus Christ is the King. And this is acknowledged by his followers who were citizens of the kingdom. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast, it's the feast of Passover, heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. As we heard from last week, Jesus was outside the town. He was in Bethany. That's where Mary had anointed him. And he was now moving into the city of Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, to observe the Passover feast. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. Who were they? The people who had been following Jesus, people who had witnessed Jesus' miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. Also in this crowd were people, pilgrims, who had traveled from all over the land to come and observe the feast of Passover. A very joyous time, remembering how God had delivered his people Israel from Egypt, from slavery to Pharaoh. Now God had done this miraculously, having instructed Moses to tell the people to slaughter a lamb and take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts, so that when the angel of death came by, who was ordered by God to kill the firstborn, he would see the blood on the doorpost and would pass over. Pass over. That's the feast that Jesus is coming to observe. The crowd was enormous. Josephus, a Jewish historian, records that at one time there was over 2.5 million people that came into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. That's a large, large population. So the crowd consisted of these pilgrims, believers who witnessed Christ's miracles, his disciples, and then there was the religious leaders, the Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, the elders, the chief priests. They were all there. There were probably many in the crowd who were just purely curiosity seekers. They heard about Jesus. The people who actually believed in Jesus were witnessing, the scripture says, about the sign that Jesus performed in bringing Lazarus from the dead to life again. A lot of curiosity seekers. Who is Jesus? What is he about? Is he a miracle worker? Is he a teacher? Is he a prophet? Then there was those that discredited him, primarily the religious leaders. He's not the Son of God. He is not the Christ. He has not been sent by God. He does miracles, but he does it by the power of the devil. He's a blasphemer. He makes himself out to be God when he's really just a man. So where there was this vast array of beliefs about who Jesus was when he came into town. Now I want to focus on the fact that Jesus is the king and his true followers are his kingdom. Oftentimes, and I've been guilty of this in the past, where we take a look at the Palm Sunday account and we focus on the negative. We focus on, this was a fickle crowd. They cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday and they jeered him on Good Friday. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then a few days later was, crucify him, crucify him. And we look at, okay, where was their faith commitment? Did they really believe? And then there's the religious leaders that we pile on to this crowd who were very negative toward Jesus. They just did not want to submit to his rule as a king. They rejected him. But from a positive standpoint, Jesus is the king. He is the creator of the universe. He is the redeemer of the world. He is the sovereign king. He rules over everything. He doesn't have to check with anybody whether he can do this or do that. The triune God is united in the purpose. They all have specific roles and responsibilities. They're all on the same page, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is sovereign. This week I had preschool chapel, and I taught the kids about the sovereignty of God. 3-year-olds got it. One of our deacons checked on them as they were leaving. What was the message about? God's the boss. God's in charge. That's what a sovereign God is. Jesus is the king. He is the one who protects his people. He is the one who nurtures his people. He is the one who directs his people. He's the king. He loves his people. His people are those whom have believed in Jesus as the Lord and believed that his death and resurrection is what paid the penalty for their sin and gave them peace with God. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. His kingdom is not of this world. And yet his kingdom has invaded this world. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. His kingdom is not a political kingdom. His kingdom does not have a geographical boundary to it. His kingdom is his reign in the hearts of those who believe him. He rules over his people. He rules his church. Citizens. That's who we are. Citizens of the kingdom of God. And as he came into town that day, like I said, there were many who cheered him. Many who opposed him. Many who had no idea who he was. But those whom had believed rejoiced because their king had come. Their king, who was foretold in the Old Testament by the prophets, Isaiah 9, talked about his kingdom coming. There was darkness, but the king was coming and he would bring light. Jesus would transfer those who were born in darkness, who were citizens of the kingdom of darkness. He would bring them, transfer them into the kingdom of light, where they would understand who God is, where they would love the Lord their God, where they would obey His Word, His teachings, where they'd find comfort in His love. That's what Palm Sunday's all about, the King and His kingdom. We don't want to get things entangled with the other things, as accurate as they are. But today the focus is on the King and on His kingdom. Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's a quote from Psalm 118, one of the Hillel Psalms. Psalms 113 and 118 are sung during the morning by the church choir. I should say by the temple choir. Praising God for who He is and what He has done. The cry, Hosanna, means give salvation now. It had become a term of acclamation and of praise. Every Jew knew of its occurrence. It was sung during the Feast of Tabernacles, during the Feast of Hanukkah, as well as the Feast of Passover. Great time of praise and adoration. Praising God, adoring God. John 12:14, Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written by the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9. Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. There was no accidents here. There were no coincidences. God had scripted this out, that He was sending His Son to save sinners, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. It was all scripted out. Jesus' death was not the work of evil men who came upon Him and just took Him against His will, beat Him up, and then killed Him. And He was this helpless victim that couldn't do anything about it. That's not what happened on Good Friday. Yes, evil men did take Jesus. However, Jesus gave His life voluntarily. Nobody took His life from Him. He offered it in obedience to the Father so that our sin would be forgiven. He took our place on the cross. And this is what communion is all about. As we remember the love of God and the love of Christ for us, how He went voluntarily to the cross. This was all part of God's grand plan of redemption. Many people had no idea what was happening. It was a parade. Hey, the Eagles won. Let's have a parade. Phillies won. Yay, let's have a parade. This was altogether different. For many, yeah, it was a parade. Let's celebrate. Here comes this celebrity who raises people from the dead. Let's all get together and really have this great time. No, this was all orchestrated by Almighty God. His plan to save sinners was unfolding before their very eyes. And unfortunately, many, many people had no idea what was going on. But for those that did, what a relief. Our King had finally come. Not a political leader. He was a spiritual king. He had a spiritual kingdom. The scripture said the disciples didn't understand all of what was happening. Do we understand all that's happening in God's economy? We understand Christ is coming back again. We understand where we're living in the end times, but do we know when He's coming back? Do we know all of what we're going to face in these end times? No. We grow into that as the Holy Spirit guides us as we study the Scriptures. So we don't want to be too hard on the disciples here because they didn't understand the significance of Jesus riding into town on a donkey. Why did He come in on a war horse? Because He wasn't that kind of a king. He came in on a donkey, which was a peaceful animal. He came in as the Prince of Peace. He didn't come in to make Jerusalem great again. He came in to save sinners. The Prince of Peace came to reconcile an angry God to sinners. Should put that the other way around. Came to appease the wrath of God towards sinners by paying the price of redemption and satisfying the justice of God and appeasing His anger. There's reconciliation for sinners through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Palm Sunday is about. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the King. He has come. Has Jesus come into your life as your King? He does so when you're born again. You remember when we studied in John 3, Nicodemus came. A Pharisee came to Him at night, wanted to know how to get into the kingdom. And Jesus told him, "You must be born again. No one will enter the kingdom of God unless they're born again." When the Holy Spirit comes and opens your heart, that's when the King reigns. A few years ago, there was this teaching going on that you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, but not your Lord. You can have all your sins forgiven. You're going to heaven. But He's not necessarily your Lord. You can live the way you want because all your sins are forgiven by grace. You've been saved, not by works. Okay, so Jesus is my Savior, but I'm going to still live in sin because I am not going to bow my knee and my heart to Him as my King, as my Lord. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord, you don't believe in Him as your Savior either. It's that simple. You can't separate Him. He is the ruler of His people. People whom God has predestined to be saved through the blood of Christ. People whom the Holy Spirit comes and opens their heart up to receive Christ by generating saving faith in their hearts to understand that I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior. I repent and believe in the Lord Jesus, and I'm saved. That's not a work of the flesh. He was born of the flesh is flesh. He was born as the Spirit is Spirit. So the question is, have you been born again? Is Jesus your Lord? Is He your King? Do you submit to Him? Or do you want to be the Lord of your own life, your own King, and create your own empire? That's what the religious leaders are having a problem with. They didn't want Jesus to be their King. They wanted to be King. They wanted to rule the people. And then we're willing to go so far as to kill Lazarus, kill Jesus, and they excommunicated, it says in Scripture, anybody that was a believer in Christ was excommunicated from the synagogue. They couldn't worship there anymore. There was a lot of battling going on. Who's the King? And that's the battle we have today. Is Jesus King of our lives? Is He a Lord? Do we submit to Him? Yes, we're saved by grace, but that does not eliminate obedience to His Word. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We're so afraid of being called legalists, we become antinomians. Doesn't matter what the Bible says about the law, about the commandments, about the teachings. We don't want to be legalists. Well, what do we want to be? We want to do whatever we want to do. We're not legal. Okay, you're against the law. And that's why you have Christians that don't understand what obedience is. They don't live the same. They do live the same way as the world. That's not what Christ came to do. He transforms us. I remember hearing one time that somebody said, the church today is like a chameleon walking across the plaid sofa. He killed himself walking across the plaid sofa because he tried changing colors as he was going along. Today I'll be red, tomorrow I'll be blue. And the church and some, well, today we're going to believe this, and then we're going to believe that. We're going to redefine marriage. We're going to redefine right and wrong. We're going to do all these things to please man. And if somebody says, hey, you can't do that, you're judgmental, you're biased, you're a bigot. That's the battle we have. The focus has got to be, and Pastor alluded to it, you have to fix your eyes on Jesus. Do what He says. He's the King. This table here is called the Lord's table. Keep that in mind. This is not just a ritual that we come to the first Sunday of the month and we eat some matzah and we drink some grape juice and okay, we did that. That's good. This is the Lord's table, who is the one who is our ruler, who tells us not to come to this table in an unworthy fashion, because there's consequences for doing that. We acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and is King. As His kingdom, we acknowledge this every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, the cup and the bread. This is a time when God will meet with us, when the King will meet with us, when the King will speak to us, when the King will forgive us. We're guilty. We're guilty. We've sinned. How do we get past guilt? How do we get past shame? This is a reminder that Christ took all your shame on the cross. He bore all your guilt on the cross. And you have been forgiven. Completely forgiven of all sin. And as Jesus said to others, as you complete this, go in peace and sin no more. Pastor Ben is now going to come with a prayer of examination, helping us to partake of the Lord's Supper in the way that He has prescribed.